Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Jacob here, back for another episode of the Spectrum Political Podcast. Alone again. I know it's getting a little frustrating, but don't worry. The other Jacob will be back next time. So instead of we were going to talk about Russia and China, but this time we're going to move to a thing that I have passion about, and it's elections. And there is one election that's pretty big this year. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called the 2018 midterms. I know. Sorry. So, we're going to go through polls today. It'll be the first episode for that. There will be another one towards the end of October when it gets more clear, and I'm going to be making predictions. I know. Everyone's favorite predictions. So I thought we'd start with safe states, and then we'd go into more split ones. So let me just bring this up here real quick. It's gonna be pretty obvious that this is a really important election. Now, we'll start with the easiest state that doesn't even have an opposition party member running, and that would be California. California is with Dianna Feinstein and Kevin DeLeon. I think that's how you pronounce it. There's not even a Republican running in this seat. There's not even a Republican running. This is how partisan the state is. And it's pretty easy who's gonna win this one. It's gonna be Feinstein. She's one of the, if not the most popular senator in the United States, so easy win. I'm gonna give that to her. Let's give it to Feinstein. Then we'll go to Washington. Democratic state on the coasts, but then once you get in, you're like, in Republican territory. So I'd give that to Cantwell, who's the incumbent, of course. Now we'll move on to our boy in Nebraska, Deb Fischer and Jane Raybould. Deb Fischer, the incumbent, is gonna win that Republican victory easy. Then we'll go into Wyoming. John Barrasso, he's gonna easily beat Gary Troner. There's not even a freaking debate. Then you have Roger Wicker in Mississippi, easy win for him for the Republicans. And you have Cindy Hyde-Smith against Mike Espy, and that's an easy win for her. And we go to Utah. We got Mitt Romney against Jenny Wilson. Mitt Romney will win that. Mitt Romney, he's got everything going for him. He's a Republican in Utah and he's a Mormon. There's no other argument there. So now we'll go to the other safe states for the Democrats. Now that we've talked about all the safe states for the Republicans, that's putting them at 47 seats. Now we'll go to Hawaii. Mazie Hirono is going to easily win. It's just too easy. Then we have Virginia, Tim Kaine, easy victory. Tom Carper in Delaware, easy victory. Ben Cardin in Maryland, easy victory. And we have New York, Kirsten Gillibrand, Hillary Clinton 2.0, as they call her up in New York. I should know, I'm from there. Easy win. Bernie Sanders, easy win in Vermont. Angus King, easy win in Vermont. They're both independents, but they caucus with the Democrats. Sheldon Whitehouse out of Rhode Island, easy win for him. Chris Murphy out of Connecticut, easy win for him. Elizabeth Warren, easy win out of Massachusetts. I think that's not even a challenge. And that puts us 36 Democrats, 49 Republicans. So now let's go into the leaning. Not 49 Republicans, sorry. That's 47 Republicans. So let's go into the other states, shall we? Let's go into, first off, New Jersey is up for election. You're like, oh, New Jersey is a Democratic state. Well, Bob Menendez, he's an interesting human being because he was caught up in a corruption scandal and a bribery and all that. So he's barely winning in the state, but I mean, that's going to be an easy victory for him. So we'll just take it back for like, that's a Democratic victory right there. So easy victory for him. So now we'll go on to the Rust Belt states, which a lot of people, of course, the problem with that the Democrats have is that they have all of these states. And Trump won so many of these states. Like, look at all these states that are up for re-election. You got West Virginia, you got Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida, Missouri. Like all of these states that have Democratic incumbents, North Dakota, Montana, all of them, they have Democratic incumbents in the Senate. So they have to be really careful. But some of these states are pretty easy to lock in. Like Pennsylvania, for instance, Bob Casey is leading by 14%. So that's an easy victory for the Democrats. I don't see any opposition there. Ohio, Sherrod Brown, really popular. GOP did do. Put a good candidate out. He's leading by 13% in the newest poll. I know you like don't quote the polls, but we're gonna quote the polls in this case. Ohio, I see going to the Democrats. Michigan, Stabenow easily going to win, he destroying John James. So easy win. Wisconsin, of course, Tammy Baldwin. I think she has a pretty easy path to victory. Democrat in there. Minnesota is safe in one regard, but then in the special election in Minnesota, you got Tina Smith, who's leading about with an average of 8.5% in the polls, but we're going to give that to her because, you know, it's Michigan. It's Minnesota. Michigan, Minnesota. Sorry, Minnesota. West Virginia, which is the final state I'm going to talk about. Joe Manchin. Now, he's pretty popular in West Virginia, if you didn't know. And he's leading by 8% in the newest poll. And most people said if he votes for Kavanaugh, if he votes yes to Kavanaugh, it'll go up. If he votes no, then it'll go down. But he'll still win his election. So I'm going to give that to Joe Manchin. So that puts us at 47 Republicans to 44 Democrats. Now let's get into the toss-up states. I guess we can go the ones that are pretty easy to explain, and then we go with the ones that are harder to explain. The only one that's easy to explain is really Montana, because Montana has John Tester in it. Now, John Tester, he's a very interesting human being, I would say myself. He's a Democrat in Montana. I know. If you don't know anything about Democrats, you're gonna be like, well, he's gonna lose. I'm like, no, he's not, because he's really popular in Montana, actually. He's going up against Matt Rosendale. He's not doing well, Matt Rosendale. So, let's just say that Tester's leading by 3% in the newest poll. Not that good, but it was done by a Republican-biased source, Remington Research, which is Republican. And the Gravis poll before that gave Tester an 8% lead. So, I'm going to give that to Tester. Easy win for him, which will put us at 45 Democrats. Here comes the uphill battle. We'll talk about Tennessee. Tennessee is interesting. Very interesting race. So it's between Marsha Blackburn, the Republican. Marsha Blackburn is again who is a representative, is going up against Phil Bredesen, the governor of Tennessee. He's a Democrat. He is really popular in Tennessee. He won with 70% approval. Just think about that. In Tennessee, which is a Republican state, he won with 70% approval rating when he left office. That's incredible. For a Democrat, at least. But the polls are not a good sign. The news poll, of course, it was taken by Fox News, so do we really want to give them that much credit? Is letting Blackburn lead by 3%, then the one before that with NBC, which do we want to give them much credit? Is giving Bredesen a 2-point lead. Gravis gives Blackburn a 4-point lead, and Bredesen is leading by 6 in the Emerson poll, with an average of Bredesen 0.3, but I'm gonna have to say that I'm going to give this. Oh, we'll come back to it, I guess. I need to think about that one a little bit more. actually, but we'll go into a state that I think a Republican will win in, and it's Florida. Now, Florida, it's Bill Nelson, the incumbent. He's been around ever since I used to live in Florida, and Rick Scott, the Republican governor, and he is doing well. Now, the newest poll shows Nelson leading by 1%, but Scott is really popular in Florida. He in every other poll, it has either been a tie or it's Scott winning, and I'm going to give this one to Rick Scott. I think Rick Scott is really likable. I think he's a good candidate, and I think that he just has the every advantage of winning, which gives us 48 Republicans to the 45 Democrats. So let's go into another state that I think that the GOP are going to win, and I think that is North Dakota. Now, Heidi Heitkamp is the Democratic incumbent there, and she's going up against Kevin Kramer, who is the representative at large, because there's only one district in North Dakota, and she is not doing well, let's just say that. She's pretty much lost every poll except for the Gravis poll done in February. So let's just think about that. So I'm gonna give this one to the GOP as well. Easy win for them. And that will give us a Republican total of 48. That will give us a total of 48 Democrats to the, well, I'm shamanic over a total of only 45 Dems. It's not good. It's not good at all. And let's just go into the one race I forgot to talk about that's actually pretty safe. And that would be New Mexico, because I forgot to talk about it, because I'm dumb. Heinrich is probably going to win. Heinrich is probably going to win. Now, the thing about this, people weren't giving a crap about this state because it seemed pretty easy. But then, good old buddy, what is Aleppo? Gary Johnson announces that he's going to run New Mexico as the Senate for the Senate election, and it's still rated as safe for the Dems, so we'll just give that an easy victory for the New Mexico, but just a thing I forgot to talk about. So now we'll talk about the next state. I've already talked about North Dakota and Montana and Florida, which gives us 49 Republicans and 45 Democrats, which means that with one more vote, Republicans would gain control of the United States Senate. And you're going like, well, you don't need a majority. There's 100 seats. You need 51. No, you don't, because in the case of a tie in the Senate, Doug Jones, we'll talk about Doug Jones later when I get into the Senate composition, but Mike Pence, the Mr. Mike Pence, the Vice President, gets to decide the vote, and he will vote yes if it's a Republican issue. He will vote yes. So now we'll get into it. Another state, Missouri. Missouri, Claire McCaskill is lucky. I'll just say that. She is lucky. She is going up against Josh Hawley. Right now, gives the RCP average of Hawley leading by 0.5 on Real Clear Politics, but every other poll is a tie, pretty much. Except for Remington Research, was a Republican-biased source when they only poll Republicans. I'm giving this to McCaskill. I'm giving this easily. I think it's going to be really hard, but I'm going to give this to I'm going to give it to their I'm giving it to the Democrats because it's easy. And it's just going to be it's easy victory for Claire McCaskill. She's gotten lucky twice. I think it's an easy victory for her. And I'm actually going to go back to Tennessee now after thinking about it. I'm going to give the Democrats the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give Phil Bredesen the victory. Just because I want to make it a little more high stakes, you know. This is basically a coin flip race. It's like either going to be one or. But I think that Bredesen might just have the advantage because of how popular he is. I mean, in his re-election, he won every single county in Tennessee as a Democrat, so that's pretty incredible right there. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say he'll win. So, We're going to go into the next election, which is the state of Indiana. Now, Indiana, Mike Pence's home state. And we have tons of polls out of this region. Donnelly leading with an RCP average of 3.8%. Pretty good for him. Braun leads in a Fox News poll, but can you really trust Fox News? I'm not sure. Gravis poll at the beginning of like July, I mean that's April, led Braun by 1%, but then a group called the Traveler Group, which is a Republican source, gives Donnelly the lead by 12%, which if a Republican source be the other way around, it should be giving Braun one, but it gave Donnelly the 12% lead. NBC News goes from the 6%. I mean, how can you trust that? But I think that the power, like, people do underestimate the power of the incumbency. Though I do think that we are going to talk about, like, Trump's last minute push, which he is doing, by the way. And so is Obama gonna, Obama's also gonna do it, but I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt and say that the Democrats can win Indiana. And I know I'm gonna get a lot of heat for that, probably, but not sure if that's the right move. Now we'll move on to Nevada. Now, good old Nevada with Mr. Dean Heller. Dean Heller is extremely unpopular. He's one of the most unpopular senators in the entire United States. No one likes him. But so, and Jackie Rosen is leading in the newest poll that was done on the 10th by Suffolk by 1%, and Gravis did a poll leading Rosen by 4%. So I'm going to give it to the Democrats. Pretty easy victory there. Now, finally, we go into the next state that we're going to talk about, which is a very important state, is Arizona. Arizona, of course, John McCain passed away. I was a big fan of John McCain. I l really liked him. He was a super cool guy. And now he's dead. So this is a very important race to a lot of people watching it, even though it's not his seat. It's still Arizona. Martin McSally has recently been gaining a lot of strength in this race. And she let in the Gravis poll done on the 5th of September, she won, was leading by 1%, and ABC did a poll, and she was leading by 3%. But the news poll by Fox News gives Sinema the 3% lead. But ultimately, I'm going to give this race to the Republicans. So that leads us to that says that Republicans will regain majority of the Senate under under Mike Pence's vote, and we get to talk about the final election that I have not talked about, which is Texas. And why did I leave this for the last one? Well, it's because of a very special man. His name's Beto O'Rourke. I don't know if you've ever heard of him before, but he's doing extremely well. He in Texas. Now he goes to each and every county, which I think is really smart. And Ted Cruz's numbers have been drastically going down, like drastically. And I think that's a very good sign for Beto O'Rourke. I actually got to meet Beto O'Rourke the other day. Went to a rally, interviewed him for a little project that I'm working on, and he was a super nice guy. And he seemed pretty sincere, didn't seem fake to me. But we're talking about can he beat Ted Cruz, the Zodiac Killer himself? Or Ted Cruz's grandfather is gonna snipe him as the second killer in the JFK assassination. I just want to give thank Trump for giving us those nicknames. So, Lion Ted, which is actually kind of accurate. So, Beto O'Rourke, I really think that this is a toss-up race. I think I want to leave it blank. So, no matter what, my prediction is either going to be 50 Democrats to 50 Republicans, or 51 Republicans to 49 Democrats. So, what are you're saying? Well, is there any way for the Democrats to regain the Senate. Yes, there is. They have to win Florida, which they can do, and they'd have to win Arizona, which they can do, and they'd have to pretty much win every single race in order to like gain majorities. So we'll see how that works, but that's just a little prediction for the Senate. And now we're going to move on to the big race that everyone wants to, like the race that actually has a chance for the Democrats to win. That's the House. The House is interesting because you don't know what's going to happen with it, because it's such a weird, like, demographic. Like, you have to do all of these like open things and all of this that blah 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 blah, and all of this crap, and it's just, we gotta see who can win. We gotta see who can win. Now, of course, only half of the house is up, but most people like to do it through general poll basing, and I think that the easiest way to do that by is to look at the overall approval rating of the Democrats at the moment, which is about 9%. Now, can they reach 218 seats for majority? Is it possible? And I'm going to say yes, it is, and I'm even going to say I think that the Democrats regain control of the United States Senate. And now we can move on. Now, we're not going to talk about governors because I don't really like talking about governors that much. So, moving on from that, now we have established clear Senate stuff. So, what does this mean for the future of the United States? Trump, of course, is going to have to deal with a lot, isn't he? Now, we do have a very interesting thing for this. If Democrats regain the House, that means that Mr. Mueller cannot be removed. And that gives a bad sign for Trump. Now, that means that he doesn't have an even amount of time to, like, push policies through, because he'd have to get approval of both the House and the Senate in order to do it, and without the House, he is screwed. And people are, so we'll look at that, and the House will also keep Mueller on, and the House decides impeachment, though if they have such a narrow margin, they'd have to convince Republicans. So that's how that works. So now we can, I guess, look at another very, very important thing, which is the Senate. So what if the Senate stays the way it does? The Senate is a very important area of the government, because there's one thing that they decide that is so essential that it would be important. That's the Supreme Court. Now, this, actually, according to polling data, it is very, a lot of people voted for Trump because of this. A lot of people voted for Trump in the election because of the Supreme Court, and they were worried about it. And you rightfully should, because the Supreme Court makes so many important decisions that it is essential who's on it, and it depends on your belief. Now, a lot of people prefer constitutionalists, and most of these constitutionalists are ultimately conservatives, and that is very true. We can look at a lot of these, like, examples in the future. Like, we look at, I think, one of the most important things, which is that there's a lot of cases that are just completely, they're just dumbshocked. Like, there's one about how they're like of course, we're talking about the ones that, like, the marriage stuff and everything like that, and, like, refusing a gay couple the right to sell cake. And That's like always been a big discussion on Supreme Court. That's been up there like I think 3 times on the Supreme Court. Yeah, it just happened recently with that Colorado guy. What's his name? I don't know. He had the cake shop, and they said that he could refuse because it was religion. So we have a lot of monumental cases. Of course, the one about same-sex marriage, which of course, because of the federal loophole, allowed for same-sex marriage to be legal. So now all the states got to abide by it unless they appeal, which they probably will. I mean, the South, you know how they are with the LGBT people, and I, in fact, I live in the South, so I can say to that. Now, I think there should be. Now, here's something I think there should be. I don't think there should be Democrats or Republicans on the Supreme Court. I think it should all be independents. Independents are the most vital point. Like, I don't think like political bias leads to a certain decision being made. Now, with Kavanaugh, the biggest threat is that Roe v. Wade's going to be overturned. And that gets a lot of people upset. And I understand why that gets people upset. So how does this tie the Senate? You need Senate majority in order to nominate a Supreme Court justice. And Kavanaugh, regardless of people's frustration with him, is getting through. At least I believe he is. Unless something extremely controversial comes out about him, I think he's gone. He needs to get nominated just because I don't want to hear about it anymore in the news. Like, I already know he's going to win, and can Roe v. Wade be overturned, and will it be overturned? I think it might be, and the reactions are going to be very strange to see what happens with the overturn of Roe v. Wade. Now, if you don't know what Roe v. Wade means, it means that it gives the women the right of abortion, and this, of course, we know how sensitive abortion is. My family, being Catholics and all, like half of them being Catholic, it's obviously a huge issue. A lot of them are very staunch Republicans because they do not like the issue of abortion. They think that they are all pro-life. Me personally, I really do not like talking about abortion because I think it's odd, and I do not like the practice of abortion, but I am very free thinking, and I do very well respect freedom of choice in this country. I'm very much in favor of it. So I'm gonna have to go pro-choice, and I'm probably gonna get a lot of heat for that, but pro-choice is extremely important in my mind because I really do see equality as my number one value and the First Amendment as my number one value, and I think that the freedom of just doing whatever you want without anyone talking about it is just better than not be able to do anything. Get yourself decided by people that are old white men that are like that do not like talking about the idea of sex. Oh, we'll have to. That's censor warning for that. A little censor warning before the episode, I guess. So, where do we conclude on the midterms? Now, if you're out there and you're above the age of 18 and you're registered to vote, please either vote or register and make the decision on whatever you best think. Do your research. That's one thing I want to stress about elections. A lot of people just vote because they're Democrat, they vote. They're Republican, they just vote Republican. Or Democrat, they just vote Democrat. Don't do that, please. Make the decision on what you want to make your decision on. Do research. Find out who you believe in. Go to rallies, go to town halls, listen to debates. Just be clarent on the sources. Don't watch one source all day because they're biased. It's just inevitable. Most sources are biased. If I challenge a lot, I said this previously, but if you are a liberal, I challenge you to watch Fox News, and if you're a conservative, I challenge you to watch MSNBC just to see what the other side is thinking and try not to get mad and try to understand their viewpoint because that's important in this world is to understand viewpoints. And where can we leave off with the elections? I think that there is a blue wave coming. Now, this just, people go like, well, you're just saying that because you're the left one. And that might be a little bit biased, but Let's just look at this, what happened with Obama. I mean, the right wave that happened with the conservatives and the red waves that happened. And of course, Obama had majority at the beginning of his presidency, but then once he got through to the second term, he lost that majority. And that just happens a lot. And every election, like, it's very little time in which both parties hold each. It's just inevitable. And you can see that with Bush, you can see that with Clinton, you can just see that with pretty much everyone. And I think that that's pretty easy to say. Now, that's the conclusion of this episode of the Spectrum Political Podcast. And I leave you with this. November 6th, make sure you vote if you can, because it is so essential to vote in this election. Trust me, you're not going to regret it. Thank you. And I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Make sure to come check out our episodes on Spotify, iTunes, Google, or whatever you listen on. And make sure to check us out on Twitter at Spectrum Politi1.